know, one of the things, you know, and I've always believed this, but it's important because it's the truth that sets you free. And so when you get the Word of God in you and you begin to get the revelation of the Word of God in you, and you begin then to hear how God's telling you to deal with yourself, even every person individually, because we're all different. Okay, so he might tell me something that's intricately just something that maybe I've walked through or whatever, because we all walk through different things, even though they're kind of the same things, they're specifically different. And so when we let the Holy Spirit come in and bring that truth into those places, then we can be free in them, all right? So when you get instruction on how to do it, it makes it so easy, because truly that truth from God's word is what's going to set you free. And it does not make a difference where you're at. I don't care how severely you've been abused, because, you know, in inner healing, there's some type of abuse usually, some type of rejection, some type of an abandonment deficit, something that's gone wrong in our lives. But, you know, no matter how severe it is, if we will let Jesus come into those places, he's the healer and the deliverer, okay? So, Father, right now, tonight, we come to you. And, Father, I pray tonight, God, that every heart be open to hear and receive your word tonight, God. Father, with the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, I just, right now, unlock every prison with the key of the name of Jesus. And we command those places to be unlocked right now in the name of Jesus. And we declare that the Holy Spirit goes in right now, and the revelation of the light of the Spirit of the living God, the Word of the living God, will go in and begin to divide asunder. God will begin to destroy the works of darkness, God, and will set the captive free. And I decree it, and I declare it, and God, we give you the glory for it, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, Brian said something else when he was doing the scripture, you know, confessing no aid and no support. All right. And you might think, well, oh, my goodness, how can I ever get there? You know, well, it's good to say it, because if you never get it out in front of you, you're never going to go to it. Are you? And, you know, some of you might sit here tonight and think, man, I don't think I could ever go out and buy a car and pay cash for it. You might be surprised. You might be surprised. If you begin to put this stuff into practice, it works. And then you begin to say it. It works. It's powerful. Okay, I'm going to get started. See, I got preacher sermons for you twice, but they're just so good. Okay, in talking about some inner healing, I'm going to set some goals before you tonight, and I'm going to really stick right to my notes here so that I can make sure I get through some things, because I really want you to get the order of this, but most of all, I want you to see places that the Holy Spirit's going to literally target you, okay? And he's going to put his finger on some things in your life and some emotions or whatever the case may be, okay? So you need to be in a position where you're looking for God to move into some of those places, all right? Okay, so this is some of the things you're going to be receiving over this. I'm going to probably wind it down the next time, and then we'll go into the healing aspect of inner healing. But we're going to... One of the goals of inner healing is going to be spiritual healing, and that is God breaking strongholds in our lives, okay? Those demonic strongholds to be broken. Out of this also, you're going to receive emotional healing of unresolved grief and anger and brokenness or whatever the case is. Now, it's not up to me to get this for you. It's up to you to lay hold of this, all right? This whole thing here is between you and Jesus. I'm not the healer, I'm not the deliverer, but he is. Okay? So these are things that you can specifically, like, even begin to question God. Like, God, why do I use this escape all the time? Why am I always escaping over into this area? Or why do I keep dealing with these negative emotions? Or why can't I ever seem to go beyond here? Well, ask him. Okay, but it's because he will show you. When I prayed the prayer tonight to unlock the prison, that released God to go into those places. Those weren't just dead words. Those were powerful, life-giving words. And when I was over there, actually earlier tonight, praying, that's what he told me to do, is unlock the prisons. So a lot of you have had prisons unlocked tonight, whether you realize it or not. But it releases the Holy Spirit. And I've given you scripture in the last few weeks here that shows us that he came to release those who have been imprisoned, right? Okay. All right. Then you can also look to receive some mental healing. And that would be changing of your belief systems. And then finding lies that you have believed in your life. Okay. If you look at, we're going to talk about this then, but if you look at dysfunctions in your life, are things that are triggers and places where you're not functioning right, it's because you've believed something false in that. And you need truth released into that. Because remember, it's the truth that's going to set you free, right? So again, you're wanting to the Lord to expose the lies. Anytime light goes into darkness, the darkness has to move over, doesn't it? And the Word of God is light. So expect God to expose lies. And then believe God for your heart to be healed. He'll restore identity where some of you feel like you've totally lost who you were. In all of this, he can restore your purpose. And he can also restore your ability to trust people and begin to start making relationships back. Some of the problems that you might run into will simply be the fact that this is the way you've been programmed all your life. So you're going to have to come out of agreement with behaviors. You're going to have to come out of agreement with woundedness, self-pity. You may have to come out of agreement with your doctor's diagnosis over you. More than likely, I would say you would need to do that. Because a diagnosis from a medical doctor is usually diagnosing a problem, isn't it? And who is the answer? So we're going to have to, you know, instead of, if two or more of us shall agree together as touching anything, it will be done for us of our Father which is in heaven, okay? Well, I don't want to agree with a negative report. I want to, if I get a negative report, let's take it to the Word of God and let's get that report lined up, okay? So the reason I'm saying that is because I know there's people in this room that have been severely broken in their lives. But you're not too big for God. Your problem is not too big for God, okay? The other thing is this. When I was gone last week, they had some really cool songs, so I'm trying to write down their songs while I'm singing and worshiping the Lord. But one of the things they said, and this was so cool, is that you don't belong to your problem, or you don't belong to the consequences. You belong to Jesus. And see, sometimes we have problems that we think these problems control us. They do control us because we let them. But they own us or whatever. But you don't belong to that. You belong to Jesus. Amen? So that's where your identity needs to be shifted over again. We need to do some shifting in our lives and come out of the word incurable. The Bible says that the name of Jesus is above that. So if you get diagnosed as incurable, no matter where it is, I know a name that's above that. That at that name, that incurable has to bow. But somebody has to enforce that. That's all God's waiting for, is enemies to be made a footstool. So if you've been broken, if you've been emotionally abused, if you've been sexually abused, if you've been ritually abused, if you've been abandoned, if you've been betrayed, God's your healer. And he has answers. If you choose to come out of the mindset or the belief system that has identified you, all right? This, if wherever you're at, if it's a negative, that's not who you are. Who you are is a victorious child of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so that we need to get that mindset. Okay, Romans 8. 27, talking about the Holy Spirit, because we're going to be releasing him. And I'll tell you what, you just going to have to come experience, because it's amazing. It says, now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, for the Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. These verses then show us that the Holy Spirit, he will literally go into your mind and your heart and begin to search out some of these areas of bondage and areas of captivity, areas of woundedness, areas of trauma. Let him go in, because he will go in there and begin to search out those areas to get you free. Luke 4:18, and I read this to you last time, but it says, Luke 4:18, to set at liberty, this is what Jesus came for, those that are bruised. And in the Greek, the word bruised is the Greek word thorao, or T-H-R-A-U-O. I can't pronounce that. But in the Strong's Concordance, the definition is, okay, he came to set at liberty those that were, and this is the definition in the concordance, those that were broken, to have those that have been broken in pieces, that means multiple shattering. And then the literal translation of that statement in Luke 14 would be then, he has come to set at liberty those that are shattered in many pieces. Isn't that cool? Jesus came, that's the literal translation of that. He came to set those that were broken in many pieces. I said, shared a little bit, couple stories with you guys a few weeks ago about when I would be around people. And this didn't happen to me all the time. It just happened to me at certain times, but I feel like I was like a little girl, the young one there. And so when the Lord began to show me back to different things that had happened and when I was growing up, okay, that those were areas that I had been broken in, all right? Okay, so irregardless of whether there's one or two or many of them, sometimes when there's a breaking, again, it's just like in the natural, if you damage your body, you're going to be more vulnerable to more breakage, okay? But if we will understand that even in that, God can bring healing in those places to you. Okay, if someone is victimized, such as being raped or having repeated sexual abuse, there's one thing about having something happen one time, and there's something about repetition and repetition. And that is why if you were raised in a home even where there was anger all the time, if there was demeaning all the time, that repetition, we're going to talk a little bit about what that did to your consciousness and to your makeup. And to the degree of how severe it was, the damage that it would have done to you. And that's where you get into the more of the severe breaks. But in actuality, God still can heal that. And again, you're responsible to lay hold of that healing. All right? That's because God, you know, the word peace means nothing missing, nothing broken. But we have got to, if Jesus said, we know that the complete victory was the one on the cross. But yet we still have to appropriate. You did not get saved, even though Jesus paid for it 2,000 years ago. You didn't get saved till you laid hold of it, till you aggressively stepped forward and took hold of it. It's the same way with anything that God has took care of on the cross, whether it was your emotional healing or your physical healing. It's your place to lay hold of that and go after what God has for you. Okay, it could be, this is an interesting thing too. It could be even someone witnessing a murder, all right? We have ministered one time to a lady who had literally at the age of 7 witnessed a murder. Her father murdered a man in front of her because the man violated his daughter, the little girl. So he made her go back, and this little girl, when we ministered to her, well, she wasn't a little girl when we ministered, she was an adult. But she kept putting her hands over her eyes, and she goes, I can't see. And we didn't know what she was talking about. And then she kept started crying, I hate money. There's blood everywhere. And so what ended up happening was the Holy Spirit, that she had blocked that, totally forgot about it. And the Holy Spirit went in and began to show her, took her back to when she was 7 years old, and this had happened in her life. And the reason she hated money, because the man that took her out of the bar where her parents were and violated her, then gave her money. So she felt that it was her fault and that she had taken the money from the man. And then her father, in rage, killed him. Well, see, that was an area where literally the impact of that for a 7-year-old, can you see how that would get locked in? And then she functioned out of that. That was one of the ones she functioned out of. But many, many times would function out of that horrific thing that had happened in her life. Also, we have found it to be with seizures, with people who have repeated seizures, that trauma and the breaking of that. Okay, psychology uses the word shock because of the jolt that the incident gives to the mental system. The testimony of Luke 4:18 is that the Holy Spirit working through the ministry of Jesus has been sent to unshackle those who are haunted by memories of certain incidences. Some of you, you may experience as we continue to go through this, and you may experience it even as you go home and you might lay down to go to sleep and the Holy Spirit will begin to bring up some things. Now, if God brings up some things, don't get paranoid over it. Say, hallelujah, it's coming out. You see what I'm saying? When those two incidences that I shared with you about my dad, I totally had forgotten. I absolutely had moved those so far apparently back in my mind, in my subconscious, that until the Holy Spirit revealed those to me, I didn't act like I ever knew they happened. You see? So that might happen, but if God begins to bring some of those things down, you can jot them down and bring them to class. And I'm not going to specifically pray over them, but when you bring them to class, then when we do pray into this for the inner healing, that's one thing you're going to deal with. Because if God does show it to you, it's because he has purpose in showing it to you. He's wanting to heal that area of your life, all right? So if we continue to trace the truth through the scriptures, that we can then see documentation how the ministry of the Holy Spirit is implemented in a term related to the Greek word, and that's the thurao, T-H-R-A-U-O, bruised. It is the actual root from which thoro comes and is found in the parable of the Good Samaritan. It's the word wound from Luke 10:34. It says, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring oil on and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him back to an inn and took care of him. The word for wound is the root word for bruised from Luke 4:18. Amazingly, it's the Greek word traumata, T-R-A-U-M-A-T-A, and directly translated trauma. By following their words and their etymology, we discern or can discover from the Word of God that the Holy Spirit has been sent to heal traumas in our lives. And that doesn't make a difference what they are, whether they're emotional, whether they're physical. As an adult, we can experience traumas. We can experience when maybe a spouse is unfaithful or a child dies or someone that you love, you know, dies. Those are traumatic incidences that can happen to us. A literal translation of the last phrase in Luke 4:18 could be, the Holy Spirit, through the ministry of Jesus Christ, has been sent to deliver those who have been shattered by trauma. And in an injury to the mind is similar to the one in the body or mind, a hit from an outside force would cause the skin to lacerate, but the soul would crack or break. Similarly, when dealing with healing of injuries, the need needs to be located. In other words, if a person is hit like this, okay, and you have internal bleeding, then you need to find out where that's at if you're going to get it healed. So, okay, that's what that's talking about. A doctor would go in and try to see where that wound is. Well, the Holy Spirit will go in and he will see where that wound in you, like, if you're operating out of dysfunction, just think about this. You got anger, you're out of control, you trigger over little things that are said or done, you're depressed, you know. I mean, the list could go on and on and on. The Holy Spirit will go in and he will start putting his finger on those things for you to find out for you so you can deal with them. That's why he's going to do it, so that you can start dealing with those things rather than continuing to be dysfunctional. We weren't made to be dysfunctional, you know, and if we looked at this church, we would say we're probably better than a lot of churches because we deal with these kind of things in the churches, but the majority of the body of Christ is still dysfunctional, see? And so as we learn how to deal with these things, letting the Holy Spirit put his finger on them, he's going to bring proper correction to those. He makes the crooked places straight. Okay, So the injury needs to be located. The cause discovered and the treatment then administered, including cleaning and properly maintaining care of the wound. And that word cleaning is really important because we need to clean out, like, sometimes a whole lot of things. Bitterness, anger. You can forgive somebody and still hold on to the negative emotions of what you felt with what they did. You need to also release the negative emotions because we hold emotions. Those need to be taken back to the cross. We need to clean out the woundedness. You know, I could say I forgive my dad, and I have, but if I still feel anger towards him, bitterness towards him, I still have some emotions I need cleansed out of there. And you know, a lot of times when we do forgive, we still have some of those emotions, don't we? We got to get them out. You know, we have to clean those things out. Okay. Leaving any of these things out or these steps out will result in a longer healing process. We usually think that the soul of a person is a complex mechanism, but it is actually simple. So don't think this is a hard thing. It's not a hard thing. What makes it a little more on the complex side is all the unique information and memories that our soul or that our mind holds in separate compartments of our lives. But the mechanics of how it all works is simple. What makes a soul or a mind complex are the contents, but not the container. Noticeable incidences like traumas that impact our mind and break our souls are some of the main reasons that we lose control of our mind and emotions. In other words, like maybe rage, anger at your children, anger at spouses, going off swearing, cursing, okay? What that shows you then is that you got some things in there that are probably in areas where you as a child broke. And you could have seen something traumatic, or a lot of times, you know, I find in ministering to a lot of people, a lot of times people can just disassociate through being abandoned and left alone to themselves. You should never leave a child on his own all the time. It's not a healthy thing. We need to keep our minds busy. You see what I'm saying? Because a child can start disassociating, going off into a fantasy world and learn how to live there until they begin to compartmentalize themselves there. You know, and that's not healthy for us to do that. Okay, some of the main reasons in that we lose control of our emotions are things that have happened. A scar can end up remaining in the memory. Picture a baseball bat smashing a windshield, and then imagine a passive mind being forcibly acted upon by a violent or emotional impacting incident. When we look at trauma, sometimes accidents cause them, or they can be demonically perpetrated with the intent of opening a door for an evil spirit to enter. Other times people are victimized by other people. I personally believe, and that's after like almost 15 years of ministry, and what we've seen is that any time that this does happen, it is on purpose. And it is on purpose by your enemy, because he's looking for an avenue into your life. And see, when we are wounded, we're vulnerable. Even if you are physically wounded, you need to make sure that you don't, almost like, see if I can explain this right. You know, like in belief systems, we go certain ways. But sometimes when we have a physical wound or something, we can have a tendency to relax into that physical wound. And then that, because we're staying in that place, it will be open for infirm spirits to come in. That's why you never want to babysit sickness and disease. See, we think, oh, I'm sick. I got to go home and take care of myself. Some of us like to get sick so we can take a day off. Okay? You can't do that. You are babysitting a work of darkness. You see? It didn't come from God. You see, so we need to get the word, and I'm not saying that if you do get sick, it's sure not from God. Okay, there's diseases out there and there's germs out there. It doesn't mean you've sinned, but it means it's there. And so I'm going to do everything in my ability and power to get rid of it, but I'm not going to babysit it. I'm going to get in the word, and I'm going to treat it like an enemy. I'm going to take the word of God against it. I'm going to drink a lot of water. I'm going to eat a lot of good things. So you use balance on both sides, all right? But that's what a vulnerability in your life will do. It will open you up. It can open you up. Because like it says here is that they can be sometimes demonically perpetrated. I believe they always are. And normally anytime I find breakage or I find traumas in a person, we need to normally walk them through, not just through deliverance, although that's involved, but there's an inner healing also involved in that because there's been damage on both corners there. Other times people can be victimized by other people, and then we can be victims of this, our own rebellion, okay? We can be rebellious in our life and become a victim. Do you know you can do a whole lot of damage to yourself? We do. And we can suffer for many, many years because of things that we have done. But you know what? God's not mad at you over that too. And he still wants to bring you back into that place of healing. But we can be victims of our rebellion and we can be victims of ignorance. The enemy uses your rebellion or your ignorance. The American Heritage Dictionary defines trauma as an emotional shock wound that creates substantial and lasting damage to the psychological development of an individual, generally leading to neurosis. A lot of times when we deal with arrested development or arrested behavior, that comes out of that, where a person is locked up in that place. And see, what I'm giving you are all terms that you can go to a psychologist, would you give you those terms? But see, that is what is happening with that. And it's where that person becomes locked up. And you could go to a psychiatrist or a psychologist, but they're just going to give you medication. Okay, where if you will allow the Holy Spirit to go in and heal into those places and those woundedness, places of woundedness, and then allow him again to reintegrate those places that have been broken in your life. See, if he can heal, and he is the healer of the brokenhearted, it'd be like taking a bone that was broken and putting it back together and setting it. And that's what God does with your broken places. He puts them back together. See, and so you can expect that when you allow the Holy Spirit to do that, that you're going to begin to feel, and you will, more whole on the inside. We shouldn't be broken. We should be whole. Okay? I'm going to give you a couple stories here, and neither of these stories are mine, but I've dealt with similar situations, and so that's why I wanted to read them to you. But actually, I did this the last time I taught it, and there was a woman in the class that was literally healed of this particular thing. But talking about words and how words deeply penetrate the soul. Do you know if you've sat growing up under an abusive parent who has demeaned you, spoken negative things, you could never perform good enough, you could never do good enough to them, that has had a negative effect on your soul. Now, I'm not telling you that so you can be bitter at your parents, okay? Because they probably went through the same thing they did to you, okay? But it's what I'm telling you for is it's like the buck stops here, okay? I could have been angry at everything that was wrong in my life and blame my father, but my father was the way he was because of his father. So someplace somebody has to make a decision. We're going to do it different from here on in. See, and we've got Jesus. They didn't. So that's the difference. But words can deeply penetrate the soul. There was a man who, as a boy, was called retarded by his teacher because of a poor test score. The words traumatized him. He just felt broken and literally allowed an evil spirit to take up residence. He grew up thinking he was retarded and did not develop mentally. And then there was a woman who was suffering from panic attacks. Let me see here. I want to see if they bring that back together. But when I talked about this person that had grown up, this guy here, there was a woman that sat in here, and she had been told she was stupid by her, I think, fifth grade teacher. And from that point on, she has had a hard time learning because, see, she received that, and that identified her, and she thought, yeah, I'm dumb, I'm stupid, and I can't learn. You know, and that is why from that point on, she began to believe she couldn't learn. So she walked that out. It's like a blockage. It's like attention deficit, whatever you want to call it. Okay. Mind blocking spirit, because of the power of those words, received them. And as a child believed them and then began to walk that out. See, so when she literally, you know, let the Holy Spirit speak truth into that. Now, if you ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, am I stupid? What do you think he's going to say to you? He's not going to tell you you're stupid. He's going to tell you no. You got the mind of Christ. You see? But see, people speak negative things over people, and they wound the soul of a person, and we operate out of that many, many times. So it's a good time to begin to start unloading a wrong identity even that's been put on you, okay? You can have a wrong identity put on you as an adult by people speaking negative things over you. See, I know who I am. You could come and try to define me, but you won't succeed because I know who I am according to this book. Took me a while to get here, okay? But I know who I am now. So like me or don't like me, he loves me. You see what I'm saying? So you get to that place where your identity is established in Christ and not in what other people have said or spoken over you. And then there was a woman that was suffering panic attacks, and the Holy Spirit brought back to her an incident from her childhood. She and her mother, as they were pulling out of a parking lot, were blindsided by a speeding car. She was plagued then from that moment on by horrible memories of her mother lying in a hospital stretcher, on a hospital stretcher, bleeding profusely, grasping for life. She was a little girl when it happened, and she acted like a little girl when the trauma was remembered. The problem was that at different times, she would have panic attacks. The telltale clue of the problem was that she usually had these when she was in her car. She would get traumatized. She was traumatically victimized, and the impact of the accident left a scar in her mind, not a physical, but a mental scar. Okay, and then talking about the human soul and its basic design, not being complicated, but it works on three basic principles. And you might want to write these down, okay? There's three basic principles that the soul of man operates, and this will begin to help you to understand why these things have impacted you. Number one is impression. Number two is repetition. And then the last one is association. We have seen people who have been abused repeatedly, and those we find are much deeper because of the repetitiveness of that than had it happened like one time. All right? So if you even, and again, like I said, it could be severe. We had one time a young girl who was raped by her dad most of her life. And in dealing with that, then she completely closed herself up, and her whole mindset of relationship with a father was just totally like on. She just was messed up. But it could, something like that could happen one time to a person, and it's going to be a lot easier to bring that person out than a person that has been repeatedly over and over and over. Okay, so that's the difference of repetition and maybe something happening one time. The impression that the person has is the impact that causes the memory, like that girl with the accident, it hit her. And then she had that memory. She operated out of her soul because of the triggers. If it's violent, the memory becomes a trauma, and the mind and the memory are deeply scarred. When we understand the injury and how the mind works, we will realize that once the scar or that brokenness, that crack, so to speak, fragment, is in place, then the mind can keep going back to that memory if the person is subjected to a similar situation. And see, that's kind of why we trigger in certain areas, because those things are, when you were violated somehow, that cracked the soul, fragmented. So anytime a similar incident comes up, you go back and you operate out of it. Could be rejection. You could have been rejected a lot as a child. And then you go out with people and you're not rejected. You don't feel that anymore. Or you go out amongst people that you don't know and you feel rejection, okay? Because that triggers an unsurety in you because the rejection was severe in your life growing up. I was in Texas last week, and the funny thing was, and you know, this is me, but I, because I had so much rejection growing up, and so that really marked my life. Rejection did, and it marked my identity, and it marked how I responded with people. It It marked how I did ministry. It marked every area of my life. So as I began to deal and get delivered from that and healed from that, it was like I could go out into places that could normally have been uncomfortable for me a few years back, and they're no longer that way. So I went to Texas last week, and I went with a lady, and she has family that lives in Texas, and we went to their house. And I know the people, but I don't know them very well. And this is where I'm sitting there. I'm sitting there thinking, I just feel so comfortable here, just like I've known these people forever. And then I'm sitting there thinking, that's because I don't have any more rejection. That's because this thing that I had to serve all my life because of abandonment and not having love in my life growing up, I don't feel that way anymore. See, and that might not sound big to you, but that's big to me, that I can go to a place and not feel like I'm odd and weird and can't fit in. Like there's just something different, like a circle in a square. You see what I'm saying? And I used to feel that way all the time. And so when I go into places that I've never been before, or something happens, I don't feel that way because I have been healed. And not only have I been healed, that where there was brokenness, that God has brought that back together. And so that girl that was raised up without the love or the father pushing her away all the time has been made whole. So she doesn't feel that way anymore. You see? See, so I want you to identify these little things. And that's why I'm telling you these stories, that if you feel some of these things, there's reasons for that. You're not weird and you're not crazy. There's something that's happened, but let God reveal it. I'm not going to try to reveal. I'm just telling you some things, okay? But in that, you can say, well, I'm gonna go home and I'm going to start asking the Holy Spirit, because you're going to have 2 weeks, okay? And then when we come back in, I'm going to finish the teaching, and then we're going to pray. And we're going to do inner healing in this room. And the coolest thing is that I've done this before. And you know how we do corporate deliverance here? And it's like so powerful. It is. It is. In fact, we got a report today that there was a guy down in Geneseo watching the last corporate deliverance, I think it was. And he had this big lump on the back, on his back. And he's had it for years and years and years. And they could never get rid of it. Watching corporate deliverance, it left. And it's gone. Isn't that awesome? See, that was all the way in Geneseo. That's how powerful the Holy Ghost is. And that is how, when you sat here, if you were willing to receive deliverance, freedom, you got it, all right? Same way with inner healing. When you sit here, when we do that inner healing, the Holy Spirit is going to move out in this audience, and he's going to begin to put his finger on some things for you. And he's going to begin to speak truth to you, and you're going to begin to be healed and brought back together in those places that are broken. We've done this before, and when he moves out like that, it is like you can just sense his hovering over every person. And it's like, last time I did it, I directed it for a little while, and then it was just like I needed to just stop and let God do what he was doing. And it was like a silence in this room, and it was like God himself going out to every single person, bringing about wholeness and healing and revealing lies. And nobody wanted to leave. Everyone wanted to just stay, because there's nothing like the presence of God, is there? You see? So expect that kind of stuff. But in that, go home and say to the Lord, God, why do I act like I act? You know, if there's areas in your life, if there's even like, why do I always respond to deficit? Why am I always afraid we're never going to have enough? We're always going to be poor. Why am I always afraid that I can't pay my bills, or that God's word, like what Brian said, and some of you were shutting down on what he said. I could tell it. I could feel it. Well, why is that? It's because of the way maybe things were spoken over you growing up. Could have been an incident that happened where your family suffered loss when you were growing up, or they were in financial straits all the time. When Lou and I started tithing, we planned on getting rich, okay, because that's what the Bible said. And we just took the word of God for what it said, and it said if you would bring your tithe into the storehouse, he'd open up the windows and he would pour out such blessing there'd not be room enough to contain it. Hallelujah, that's me. He said, try me, prove me, right? So we started tithing. We went from bad to worse, but we kept doing it. And then, but because we were tithing, he kept getting better jobs, better promotions. He just kept moving forward, okay? So by the time we started making some really good money, I still was so paranoid about finances. I worried and I worried and I worried about money all the time, to the place where it was like a torment to me. And it's like, dear Lord, I need to do something here. So one summer, I literally got out the Word of God on trust, because that's what I needed. I just needed to learn to trust God in those areas and get free in those areas. But see, here we were making good enough money, but I couldn't enjoy it because I was still bound by poverty and lack and insufficiency, never enough. See, so if you're feeling some of those things, those might be areas where you could be doing well, but you're still bound, and God wants you to be free. Because if you can never put it out in front of you that, yes, God wants to make you rich, he said it in his word. He said, let the poor say I'm rich. Didn't he? So if he said that, that's his expectation for you. But we don't have those expectations. So we need to remove some maybe blockages, our mindsets, our... Remember what I said in the beginning about belief systems? Let me go back and read that. We have belief systems that are nothing more than poverty mentality. That's all it is. And so if you have a mindset of poverty mentality, mental healing, changing the belief system and finding the lie that's been released and get your mind renewed. See, we operate out of a whole lot. And like I say, when he was preaching that, a lot of you thought, well, please, you know, no loans. I'm just going to go pay for a car. Yeah, sure. You can. You can. We've done it before. Never thought we could ever do it. We've done it. Hallelujah. It was used, but it was still cash. Still pay for no debts. Yes. You know? And it wasn't an old used car. It was a nice used car. Well, it's just what we decided to do. But we began to get a different mindset. And this has come from being healed of ungodly belief systems that were literally drummed into us as children. Okay? All right. So this lady back here with the panic attacks. Okay, the telltale clue of the problem was that she usually had these when she was in her car and she was traumatically, I just read all that to you. The three basic principles were impression, repetition, and association. I'm going to read this again here. But the impression is the impact that causes a memory. If it's violent, the memory becomes a trauma. And the mind and the memory are deeply scarred. And that's, again, if it's violent. Your mind and memory don't have to be violently scarred, but if they're scarred, you're still going to operate out of that. Okay? But when the behaviors become more severe, and it's like the behavior controls you more than you being able to get control of yourself, that tells you right there you've got some incidences that probably go back, that God is wanting to go into those areas for you and get you healed of them. And so that's the reason I've told you some of mine is because if I could get healed, you can get healed. If things that literally hindered me all through my life are now gone and I don't even feel self-conscious, God wants that for you too. Okay? And we can have it. If you're traumatized by lack and insufficiency, you can begin to shift that and start moving forward with some faith, because you need faith. That's why when he said start, you know, saying it, well, my goodness, get it out in front of you at least. Begin to change. That's what I did with the scriptures. I went and got things on trusting. When we understand the injury, and that's to the soul, and how our mind works, we will realize that once the scar or that broken crack, that broken place is in place, the mind will keep going back to that memory if we're subjected to a similar situation. In the incident of the woman in the car, the woman would subconsciously associate with the car wreck when she was in heavy traffic. Panic attacks would come on her. And when we study how the mind records and recalls these memories, we can understand then why character dysfunctions develop. So she had her character dysfunction was these panic attacks. We had a lady come to us one time. Now, this is interesting, because what I want you to see is the broad spectrum of this. Okay? We had a lady come. She was a beautiful young woman about, I don't know, maybe in her late 30s, 40s, something like that. I don't know. Anyway, she had severe panic attacks. She had been, so I'm going to do her history so I can find out why these panic attacks, okay? So I do her history, And she never had anything bad happen to her. Okay, so it's like, okay, you didn't give me anything to pray, you know. And she was raised in this really good Christian home. And most of us were not raised in really nice Christian homes. There were a few of us, but not too many of us. She was raised in this really good Christian home, so she never had a whole lot of traumas or bad things happen to her. So I'm thinking, okay, God, I don't have any place to go here. So I just keep talking to her because I'm wanting to figure out Holy Spirit, listen to what the Holy Spirit says, find out where to go. So we keep talking, and all of a sudden she remembers when she was in sixth grade, she was overstaying overnight with her girlfriends, and they were watching a horror movie. I think it was Amityville Horror, if I remember right. I don't remember for sure, but I think that's what it was. She said she was so afraid when she watched Amityville Horror that literally she had to call her mom, and her mom had to come and get her. She just went into shaking and just being petrified from watching that movie. So her mother came and got her. She said for 6 weeks she had to sleep by her parents' bed on the blankets and a sleeping bag or something. She couldn't sleep away from them, okay? So there was right there my root, and I knew that. So we prayed into that, and literally, that's probably been 10 years ago. She never has had any paycheck since. She's free. You see, but that's where it is, where you go, let the Holy Spirit put his finger on that. Now you might think, well, horror movies? Well, what are horror movies? They're about as occult and full of fear as anything you could be watching. Yeah, and people entertain that. I know people who entertain, this is going to get me off my teaching, but poltergeist movies and have stuff moving around in their house now that they never did before, but I don't want to teach that. Okay, impression, repetition, and association. These are all the mechanisms whereby your mind works. Okay, let's look at impression. Impression is how a memory is recorded in your mind. Medical researchers have discovered that neuron chains are built inside your brain when information is received. Each time the memory reoccurs, an electrical pulse runs down the same path and the chain becomes stronger. That's why also with like seizures, when people have seizures, those neuron pathways are being built in there. And it's so much easier for that person to go back into seizures. And that's why a lot of times when they even take the drugs, it's hard, you know, that you can get free from them, because we know a lot of people who have. But okay, each time that particular memory reoccurs, an electrical pulse runs down the same path and the chain becomes stronger. They have also observed that as the memory recurs more times, the neurons traveling over the chain will actually fissure a rut into the brain. Memories then flow in the path of least resistance. Remember I told you about driving down a back road and you keep driving like maybe out to a place somewhere until finally there are ruts, and then the ruts get so deep that you gotta start drive out of them. You lift your car up out of them a little bit so you don't scrape the bottom, but there's always something that's wanting to pull it back into the old ruts, isn't it? That's how our mind works. We go back without just impulse. It takes you right back into that same old behavior that you hate. And most of you hate those behaviors. You don't like them. But it's like, why am I acting this way? It's because of the way we are programmed to operate. And then these negative things happen, which God never intended. And the enemy can use them to establish dysfunction in our lives. Okay? So if you've got some dysfunction, even if it's little, I don't want any dysfunction in my life. I want to deal with all the areas. Okay? Some of you have major dysfunction. Okay, let me find my place so I don't keep reading the same stuff over. Okay, memories again flow in the path of least resistance down the ruts. What causes a memory to be deeply, and this is deeply recorded in the mind, is emotion. The emotion that you received what happened to you, with which that memory then is received. So it's also included within our natural senses. Okay, so that record or where it's recorded comes in through our eye gates, ear gates. I can come in through touching, smelling, tasting. That's why certain smells and certain tastes can trigger you. You can smell, and people who have been through some abuse, there's certain odors that will take them right back to the incident because there was a particular odor that when maybe they were being violated in one way. Okay, so those types of things, or seeing different things. Like I told you about the little girl who you know, this is real strange, but the lady who did observe that murder had, and her eyes are getting better, but she had severe vision problems. And I truly believe that just came out of that, out of her, because she covered her eyes. She didn't want to have to see that murder. Okay, so your natural senses can come into that too and trigger. Okay, making that impression even deeper. When the impact is radical or perhaps violent, then the memory becomes so deeply recorded that it's called a trauma. The fissures that are registered in the mind are so deep that in a figurative sense, it appears as a crack or a fragment in the soul or a place of brokenness, all right? And the reason I use that word place of brokenness, because remember, Jesus said, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus came to heal these types of places in our lives where we've been damaged. And there's, like I said, there's such a vast spectrum. There's real severe ones, but if a person has been abandoned as a child, maybe rejected a lot as a child, not loved as a child, the things that work with that there are anger, performance, swearing, cursing, violence. See, so some of you might have those outworking behaviors, characteristics, but it comes out of this place where you were not given the kind of love you needed. And it's not just a simple like, okay, my parent didn't pick me up and hold me, but many of us didn't have that. But it's where that child maybe is repeatedly left alone, or the mother walks out or the father walks out, and the devastation of that is huge on a child. Or a parent is abusive to that child, okay? So those things can deeply impact. They may not be as severe as what some people go through, but they can still be causing dysfunctions in your life. They can still be causing certain triggers where you can't relate to other people correctly. You can go around and you either feel always out of place, or things anger you, you're bitter towards people, you're judgmental. Everything that's said, you scramble it, you take it another way. See, all of those things can work and come out of that. And if we don't deal with it, we will just keep going in all that dysfunction. And God doesn't want you dysfunctional. He wants us whole. Deep fissures and ruts comprise our deepest memories, which when traumatic can be a detriment to our thought processes and an enemy to sound character. These also can become strongholds in our lives. 2 Corinthians 10:45 says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, are casting down imaginations. Those are things that we're thinking. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought, what we're thinking, what we're reacting out to the obedience of Christ. When medical science tries to use physical means to pull down a stronghold, it's not using the might of God. And they do. There's a lot of psychiatrists and psychologists out there that are really trying to help people. But they can't, because these are strongholds, and it has to have the power of God bring them down. You see, that's why we just medicate. You see, so if you're taking medication, I'm not telling you to get off your medication. Do not get off your medication. Did y'all hear me? Don't get off your medication. Okay, that's up there. Because you need to go to your doctor and get worked off of that. All right, but bringing it back to here, should you stay on it, or should you deal with the issues you're dealing with? Should you be allowing Christ to come in and help you get free so that your life is no longer under the control of a drug? You see, there are people who are sitting here today that have done that and are free of all medical drugs, psychological drugs. Okay, and I just noticed that when I looked out there and saw people that I know have been set free. Okay, memories can become strongholds through deeply impacting emotional incidences that repeat. The memory keeps being repeated and even more deeply entrenched in the mind. Rehearsing wrongs can become your thoughts. If you keep going over and over and over things that have happened to you, you can begin to lock yourself into those places too. That's heavy stuff, guys. We need to learn to let go. We forgive, but we still hang on to it. I still remember how they hurt me, and that still makes me angry, makes me feel betrayed, I don't trust them anymore. You see, what are we doing? Well, we forgave them by faith, right? But we're still carrying all these negative emotions, still rehearsing all these things in our mind. Well, you did this to me and you did that to me. And you know, it could be anybody in your life. You know, it could be a boss, it could be a friend, it could be a parent, you know. But we keep going back to that, and then what happens is we begin to actually form strongholds in our own lives by our doing that. That's what I said earlier about if you get a sickness diagnosed over you, sure don't go home and babysit that sickness. Go home and fight it. Fight it with the Word of God. Fight it with a good natural diet and vitamins or whatever. But don't sit and decide, this is my lot in life. I have to be sick. No, you don't. He's the healer. Either he is the healer or he's not the healer. Okay? Doesn't mean that you might get it overnight. Okay? When my son's bone was dead, it was like 2.5 years, almost 3 years before we got that healing. But in that, we sought out God. Till we learned how to get a hold of what the Word was teaching us so we could lay hold of it. We did not babysit it. From the point that the doctor said incurable, I rejected incurable. And I didn't even know nothing. But my mother's heart said, no, that's not what I'm settling for my child. You see? Okay. Rehearsing wrongs can become strongholds. Your thoughts can build fissures, literally, and this is proven medically in your mind. Most of what I'm giving to you is like out of medical science, out of psychology, all right? So you can build your own fissures in there when you keep going back and rehearsing. And how many of you ever done that? I sure have. Now I got to get that off me. Yeah, you see? Because we do. We're all guilty of that. We like to entertain our... our offenses, maybe? We like to entertain them. They really made me mad. They had no right to say that. They had no right to do it. And we go over it. And sometimes we even talk to them. Right? See, if some of you don't want to admit it, but you do. Okay. All right. And then sometimes we just plain listen to what the devil says. And then we identify that these things are that they belong to us. Okay, repetition. I'm going to quickly finish up here. Repetition is when a thought, this is the second one, it's when a thought or a memory repeats time and time again, the fissure in the brain then becomes deeper and deeper. When an activity or a violation is repeated or becomes a habit, the action becomes programmed into your brain. Do you know we can program negative habits within ourselves, okay? And again, what you are doing when you, like nail biting maybe, what you are doing then is you're literally building fissures in your brain to operate that way, and we just keep doing it. That's why it's hard to break some of those things, okay? But they can be broken. Sometimes it's almost like a generational spirit, literally, that goes from generation to generation. Do you ever notice that in families? Families bite their nails and they keep going. It happened in our family, didn't it? Well, it wasn't from my side of the family. I'm picking on Lou again. Sorry, Lou. It really wasn't my side of the family because we didn't do that, but his did. And then our daughter did, but she's got long nails now. Anyway, I'll just keep moving right along here. You know, I told him all the time when he found me, he found a good thing. That's what the Bible says, that when you find a wife, you find a good thing. See? So all you men who have wives, you found a good thing. Anyway. Okay, so a repetition then is something that goes over and over and over. When an activity or a violation is repeated or becomes... I always stick up for Maria when Pastor Kevin does that, because he needs somebody to stick up for him. Okay, anyway. Okay, when the action becomes programmed into your brain and it becomes a subconscious action where you just act it out and you don't even think about it. See what I'm saying? That even comes into the arena where we will say certain things to people just because in our subconscious, that's our response. That happens in marriages a lot, where things have happened maybe in the past, and we begin to change, but we still respond in a negative pattern, okay? Now, I'm going to pick on me instead of Lou. Okay? Well, Lou's going to have to get picked on, though, for me to pick on me. So, but when we were first married, for years, actually, he, and this came out of rejection, but I think I've told you this, guys, this before anyway, but nothing I ever did was right. Nothing. I couldn't do anything correct for Lou, okay? And he would drive me nuts with that. But it built some things into me that were really, really negative, okay? He got free of those. He got free of doing that, okay? Of the rejection and the criticalness and that. But then I had to get free, you see? So I started unloading it too, but one day I was, well, he said something and it was really, really slight. It was not worth a response from me, but I responded. And God said to me, you need to give him a break. You see? So there comes a time when people change. Let them change. Don't hold, see, you are guilty if you hold your spouse or anybody else's, but if they're trying. I mean, I'm not talking about you're dealing with situations that are always there, okay? You know, but I think I've got the greatest husband there is. I mean, he's just an amazing guy. He's so good to me. But see, that's where God brought us. Why did he bring us there? Because we lined our words, our lives up with the Word of God. See, we've endeavored to live this book, and this book has blessed us. This is where your blessing comes, okay? And it helps you then to unload. And that's not always fun in the unloading, but you can unload. Okay, so in other words, though, subconscious stuff gets built in there, and even your reactions, even your responses, okay? So you might have some negative responses you need to change, that you need to quit responding in that. And sometimes you don't need no major deliverance, no major inner healing. You just need to do it. There can be decisions that you make. Do you know, I'm going to do some teaching on the will. Do you know your will is probably one of the most strongest things that God has given you? That's where you make all your choices out of your will. Okay, subconscious activity is simply the underlying effect of deep habits or memories. A person has a thought or a certain way for such a long time that they don't even have to think about doing it. They just do it. Sometimes we may forget why we act like we act in this area of dysfunction. The reason they think the way they do is associated back to a trauma or a memory or why a person maybe feels shame or whatever. For years, I operated out of rejection, not knowing why. I just thought it was my personality. That's all I did. I didn't know there were reasons. I didn't know rejection was a spirit. But in that, so you keep doing it and doing it until the revelation, this is why you need teaching. The revelation of this comes to you, okay? That's why I don't believe people are ever born. Well, let me say this correct. I believe that, you know, people say in the world system, not us, but that people could be born homosexual. People can be born with a homosexual tendency. Let me tell you why. God didn't make them homosexual, but it's in the bloodline. So you have a voice that continually is there to keep programming and programming and programming till you begin to listen to it and try to operate in it. You see, that's that programming. So you could take and just decide, and I've seen this happen. No, that's not who I am. That's not my identity. Remember what I told you in the beginning? The problem or the circumstance does not own you. Jesus does. I would write that down. I wrote that down when I heard that. The circumstance doesn't own you. What are you going through in right now? Is it finances? Is it divorce? Is it drug use, alcohol, dysfunction in your family? That circumstance does not own you. Jesus does. You need to decide who you're going to belong to and quit letting this thing dictate to you your life. You make a decision to come out. And then, see, when you make that decision to come out, when we come back in the first Saturday of that, we're going to finish this. And you'll be amazed at how easy it is to get free of even maybe if they're minor dysfunctions. And I'm going to quit because I got a little more on that. But I think I can finish it. Probably up without too much trouble because I don't want to wear you out tonight. But I want you to go home and I want you to begin to ask the Lord to show you. You know, if you've been raised by any kind of violence, I was raised in a violent home to a degree because of my father's alcoholism. So there were certain triggers in me that would react to even how I responded to my husband, okay, because of those things, all right? So those things, when you find yourself reacting with negative patterns or dysfunctions, that is your clue. If you operate in fear or worry, like I worried all the time about our finances, that's not normal. Worry is fear, all right? So when we are, if you can't believe God, there's some reasons behind that, possibly something that's happened that's blocked that, and it's time to get rid of it, okay? So you go home, God will show you what it is. Just like I said, when I was, after I found God and I was just laying in bed one night and the Lord began to reveal these things that had happened to me with my father when I was a little girl. And they did happen, but I had pushed them so far back that I never ever thought of them, was totally blank until it was like, oh my goodness, yeah, that did. And I began to go back through that. But then I had to walk through the healing of that, okay? So if you've been in a bad marriage, God wants to walk you out of that. If you've been in anything, don't let yourself define that as this is my end, that this is where I have to end up. God has given you your identity. Don't let a circumstance, don't let the devil identify who you are. And come determined that you are going to get set free in those areas of your life, okay? All right, so you got 2 weeks to do that, you know, and pray. Say, Holy Spirit, show me. And some of you might get a number of areas. That's okay. I've had more than one. I've had a lot of them. Lots of them. And, you know, you think you're really rolling along good and God will show you something else. But the thing that's good about it is the really bad stuff gets moved out. And then the little things are just little things that you can just pick out really easy, okay? So, Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, God, I pray your blessing over your people. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would show, that you would go into dark places, that you would go into places where people have been locked up and even where memories have been repressed in the subconscious, Father, or where there's dysfunctions, Lord, and show them why there's that dysfunction, God. And Father, I pray even more than that, that they're going to want to get free of their dysfunctions, Lord. I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that God, that they will just get tired of the mess they live in, to the point where they will do what it's going to take, God, to get out of it, God, because you are their healer. You are their deliverer, Father. So, Father, I just bind the enemy. I bind all hopelessness. I bind all frustration over lives that have just been, nothing seems maybe with some of you to ever go right. Lord, we just bind that frustration right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, I ask Holy Spirit that you would individually go to every single person and begin to expose big or little areas of their life, God, that you want to cleanse out, God, that you want to heal, that you want to deliver those that, God, have been bruised and broken down and crushed by calamity. Father, we thank you, Lord, that the anointing of the Holy Spirit, God, that you are here to deliver and set free. You are here, God, to even visit people in the night. And I thank you, God, that even some of these people are going to have dreams, that you will even visit them in their dreams. So, Father, I declare right now that where even there's been blindness, where they've been blinded to things in their lives, that God, you, God, will restore their sight in those areas. Father, where they've been weak and oppressed, and God, even their places of indecision, God, I pray, God, that you would just expose where they've had to submit to things in the past and their will has become weak, God, and can't stand up and make choices because of being forced to do things. God, even as a child, Lord, I ask, God, that you expose that, Father. And I declare, God, in the name of Jesus, I declare over this whole group that healing, that the healer is in the house, and healing comes to your house. And Father, I thank you that you make every crooked place straight. I declare that the crooked places are made straight, that the mountains are leveled, and the bars of iron are cut asunder, and the doors, brass doors, those hard doors broken down, in the name of Jesus. And God, that you go in and you heal and you restore and you bring up mighty men and women of God. And God, the prosperity that you have for your people is released in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Do you know just these things that I've been talking about tonight can be hindering your financial blessing? Seriously, can. The more we've gotten delivered and set free, the more we've been prospered. Because those were all things that were blocking, which are strategically set there by your enemy. Do you think your enemy wants you blessed and prospered? Jesus said, start calling yourself rich. And some people think, well, I can't do that. Yeah, you can. He said to do it. But see, these things block us. And we think, well, maybe God is holding them back. The Bible says he will withhold no good gift. Amen. Nothing good. Amen. Okay? From us. So I know for us too, when we would like, well, God, we believe the word. So why isn't it working? Because we needed some areas delivered in our life where the enemy had strategically set up through the years of us growing up and stuff like that, and things that had happened that continually blocked us. And the more we cleaned them out, the easier it was to get that flow in. It's amazing, and it works. Hallelujah.